B3. Number 8A.
When we consider the Christ and the Christ idea, then perhaps we remember that this is on the level of Christian Science, whereas the Christ on the level of divine science was the ideal. And so the question was also asked last Sunday, well, what is the relationship between ideal and idea? And I think the question always comes up all the time in every country that comes up. And perhaps the greatest difficulty in this question is this, that those two terms start more or less with the same letters, ideal and idea. And therefore, well, it's not always quite clear what is the difference, where it is just coincidence that they start with the same three letters and have only the last one different. They are two very different concepts. They have actually very little in common, or nothing in common. And yet, we have to see at least the relationship between ideal and idea, so that that question can be resolved once and for all in the student's mind. We have seen that on the level of divine science in the survey which we have taken, that the Christ is the ideal of God, that that ideal is truth itself. What does ideal mean? Ideal means just the form of excellency. Perhaps in this way I could define ideal. It's the form of excellency. It's the form of the optimum of good. It's ideal. You use that term in everyday language when you say, well, we had a very ideal situation, or the weather was just ideal, which will mean that it was just the optimum of what you expected for that holiday, that you had ideal weather. It was not too hot, not too cold. Sometimes it was perhaps a bit raining, and then the sunshine. I don't know what you consider as ideal. It is a form that has the highest excellency. If we say that in divine science, the Christ is the ideal of God, then we mean that with that the Christ is the most excellent form that God can conceive. That the Christ is that which will bring us in every situation an ideal situation. Now, what then is idea in regard to ideal? Well, an idea and ideas, we have seen, is when the divine mind is translated to the point of individual situation, to the individual ideas. Showing, therefore, that ideas are the form in which the divine mind expresses itself. And as the divine mind expresses itself as an ideal, therefore all ideas are ideal to a situation. Which means that the Christ translates always the highest ideal of God, that what God can conceive as the highest form, the most excellent form, translates itself always to the point of individual ideas, which are naturally in that situation also ideal. Because we have seen on the way of translation, nothing is being lost. So if the generality is ideal, then the specific is also ideal. And therefore we see that in the science of being, that what the Christ achieves is not only that the Christ translates mind into the form of ideas, but that it at the same time gives to every idea the most excellent form, the highest form, the most perfect form. That's why when it translates itself to man, to individual man, a spiritual idea, Mrs. Eddy would say at once, perfect, because it's ideal, and eternal. Which means, for our attitude or for our consciousness, that if we turn to God and to His Christ, and let the Christ come to us and give us an answer to a situation, that answer will not be a half-way answer, will not be a mediocre answer, but that it will always be the highest form of an answer, always an ideal answer. Or that we know that when the divine mind translates itself to an individual situation, it will bring to the individual situation all that is necessary in order that individual situation is ideal for that problem. So ideas, as they are translated from God to man, are always ideal. Always ideal. Ideal ideas. But naturally, if the outcome is ideal, we must see that we go to a source that is ideal. And that source that is ideal says that's on the level of divine science. There, really, the one Christ is the ideal. That ideal is just the one and only Christ. It's the whole truth, the one truth. It's truth itself. Therefore, what do we want more as an answer than a true answer? And an answer that is exactly true and adapted to the situation. Now, for instance, take in the study aid, page 51, on page 51, there is a little diagram which tells us something about this ideal, about ideal ideas. That's the title. Then you have the divine ideal. So that's on the level of divine science, where we have that God can never be less than the maximum of good. That's the ideal. Can never be less than the whole of truth, which would contain everything that is necessary. But as we translate that down through absolute Christian science and Christian science, then that divine ideal is being, through spirit, as you know, diversified, classified, and individualized. Which means that the one ideal that God has as the one Christ is constantly translated to all sorts of ideal situation. And so you can, perhaps these are just a few terms, you can see that the divine ideal translates itself to ideal guidance, for instance, in mind. That what mind brings us as guidance is always an ideal guidance, a perfect guidance. or it translates itself to the point of an idea of spirit as ideal fruits, ideal results. They are not just mediocre fruits, mediocre results, where you say, all right, that's good enough, it's not quite what is necessary, but still it's good enough. It's never that way. The Christ always brings fruits that are of the highest quality. Or, in the tone of soul, soul translates itself as ideal vocation or ideal mission. You have perhaps felt over my many years of teaching that I'm always very hot on mission, because that's my life. I started right out with 18, 19 years seeing that I must have a mission and that I want to bring out that mission which God has seen for me, not knowing what that mission was. As I told you, I went through difficult periods in my business or my daily life, but I had only one great desire and one prayer, that I would pray practically day in and day out, really that prayer that God will show me my mission. That God, I knew that I was in a hole, that there was no way out, that I was in a one-way street, so to say, no, in a bottleneck street, that would only go as far and no more further. Huh? Did you say bottleneck street? No. Dead end, yeah, dead end street. That is it, huh? I was going along a dead end street. I could see already the end of it with 18 and 19 years, and I thought that's not good enough. So, to see that the Christ could give us a mission, and that mission would be ideal, is certainly answer to this dead-end mission, which I have chosen myself. That was my choice to do what I did at that time, and was actually not really the Christ impelling me to do it. And so at that time I turned and I thought, I let the Christ idea impel my mission, which must be ideal. If the Christ gives it to me, then it is the best that I individually can do, and then it will be that ideal which nobody else can do for me. It is individualized, and therefore it's unique. And I always thought, in my young days, even at the university afterwards, I thought, I'm not going to do what 10,000 or 100,000 other people that come out of the university with a PhD, what they are going to do. That's not right. That's not good enough. If there is individuality in being, then I want to do that which nobody else can do. That was always my attitude, long before I knew what I'm going to do. I had there, you see, a first inkling of an ideal mission, without knowing the form of it. But I only knew that it would be a mistake to do what 10,000 others would do, and that there is no real... we don't get a kick out of life if one just does what 10,000 others are doing. Just making a big business career, and I started out that way because it just was leading that way at the beginning, and I could see, well, this is easy. To make a big business career, to earn a lot of money is very easy. I earned a lot of money when I was young, already in a few years. And then I gave it up, because I saw that's not reality. That's not the divine individuality. That has nothing to do with reality. That has something to do with my materialistic and traditional beliefs. So we must see that there is for every one an ideal way, an ideal guidance, ideal fruits, an ideal mission, ideal relationships. I don't know how on earth I suddenly got into a relationship with John Dooley. That was quite something extraordinary how it happened. I didn't seek it. It happened. I mean, I was away in Switzerland, he was in London, and at that time before the war, the distance between Zurich and London was about going up to the moon. It was so far away. Not a language, no personal contact with him, nothing, and yet it happened. Because when an ideal is set, it will also bring the ideal relationships, the ideal acquaintances. And that I experience afterwards over and over, that out of the blue a relationship came into my existence and to your existence too, that is ideal for the idea. So that is an ideal idea. Or you have as life, that the divine ideal translates itself to each one as an ideal way of life, as an ideal style of life. Not many people think that I have an ideal style of life without family and without a house and without a yacht and without a terrific car and so on. But for me, it's an ideal form of life, what I have. I have chosen that ideal and have rejected all other temptations that would have destroyed that ideal style of life, which is not ideal for everyone, but which is ideal for my mission, for what I have seen as my mission. So you come to an ideal health. I don't know if I have it. You think because I was coughing, I don't have an ideal health, so that needs a little bit improving. But thinking that I was working in this field of science already about 50 years, never had to miss one day, never had to go to a doctor nor to a hospital, never been sick really, except when I've eaten something that was not good and I had to give it back and that was over in an hour. Still quite ideal when you get rid of it within an hour. And so in a way also that has translated itself to a way that even with my age I can do a little bit aerobics, and without having really training, physical training, well, I feel that that divine ideal has translated itself as an ideal plan. I believe in the plan of God, that God plans out for every individual something ideal, and every ideal is different. There is no competition between ideals because the infinity never repeats itself and therefore it has no competition. So can you see that there is not just one ideal, that there is one ideal of the level of divine science, which is God's ideal of himself. But then we have the translation of that one ideal to ideals, to the ideal of ideal guidance, ideal fruits, ideal mission and relationship and life and health and plan. So you can see how that diversifies itself. That's why in the Christ we have that that's characteristic, that the generality is individualized infinitely, and therefore the ideal is also brought out in the idea. Well, here I try to show that this is only one hierarchy to translate the ideal into the ideal idea of the seven synonymous terms. You can see guidance is mind, fruit, spirit, vocation or mission is soul, relationship is principle, life is life, health is truth, plan is love. But we can see that spirit not only diversifies, it diversifies infinitely through further classification and classification until really the individualized ideal comes out. So, for instance, not only because I couldn't show that on one page, I take health as ideal health. Now, that ideal health, again, translates itself to individual ideas of health. One of those ideas of health are again ideal. For instance, we can take health and have it in the seven subtones that I have given here. So we speak about a healthy mentality, mind, don't you see? About a healthy mentality, which must be ideal, not just a mentality, ideal mentality, healthy mentality. Or you can take spirit, which gives a healthy unfoldment, very important. We speak about that something has a healthy unfoldment, a sturdy unfoldment. It's an unfoldment that does not go constantly through crisis and chemicalizations. Then we speak about the healthy unfoldment that is ideal. When the unfoldment is healthy, it's an ideal. We can even speak about the healthy body at the point of soul. Say, well, that ideal translates itself through soul even to the point of body. Or we can have a healthy government. Don't we speak about a healthy government? About a healthy business, for instance, that the business is healthy, that the finances are healthy in a business, when they are conforming to an ideal health or business. The way of life may be a healthy way of life. Relationships, again, can be healthy, or affections of love can be healthy affections, and then they are always ideal. And you can go on endlessly that way. You can take now out of this subtone of relationship, for instance, here, you can again diversify it according to whatever classification you want to diversify it. Here I have just said that there must be healthy relationship in a business, for instance, which is ideal. Then you say, well, you know, I have a wonderful job in that business where I am and where I work. There it's a real good, healthy relationship there in that business. I like it. Or you have a healthy relationship in the family, or a healthy relationship in a nation. That's very rare, but as an ideal it would exist. So can you see, ideal is not just something up in heaven, but that translates itself in infinitely individualized ideas of ideality, of ideal state. So that we have ideal ideas in every way. And that is what the Christ will do. That thing is not something that we can do humanly. Somehow we will not be able to do that, because the human mind and the human affections and the human attitudes and the human motions and the human motives and calculations are such that they are never really ideal. From a human basis, it is difficult to establish such a ideal state of things in every way. But we know that we can establish it through the Christ. That by going back to the one Christ, the Christ idea, flowing along the one truth, seeing that the one truth as truth, life, and love is constantly translating that ideal to an ideal adapted situation, and through the Christ order then really brings it right down to the first degree, to the second degree, and getting rid, really, through the purification of process, to get rid of all that stands in the way of an ideal expression of it, until in the third degree, really, the reality of things, the spiritual reality of things, as an ideal individual situation, just stands out. Yes? Is there anything you would like to bring up about ideal in relationship to idea? I think we have made that question too difficult, because we were thinking ideal has to do something with idea, and actually it hasn't. They are two different categories, but naturally they go together. Did I point that out clearly? See, that there are two different categories. The one is the form of it, and the other is the substance of it. Ideas are the substance of reality. Ideal is the form of that reality. So that every idea must be ideal to a situation. Yes, that's that. Now, we take up another subject. You see, there is no end to that Christ translation. I take up that further subject about what we have been seeing this afternoon, that interestingly enough, we see that the Christ order in the first translation brings out in the second translation the Genesis order, the word order, as the Genesis process. It doesn't bring out as a third degree mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It brings out the Genesis order, of wisdom, purity, spirit, understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness, which are qualities of the Genesis order. And so you could say to yourself, but isn't that contradicting the teaching that said, well, the first side of the Holy City is the Word, the second side of the Holy City is the Christ, and the effect of the Christ, we always said, would be Christianity or Christianity, which Mrs. Eddy defines as the outcome of the Christ idea. So why do we have as the outcome of the Christ idea, instead of Christianity, the Genesis order? Isn't that the question? Isn't that the big question? And therefore we have to see the answer to this. And so we'll talk a little bit about the answer to this question.